Now would you turn in the book of Acts to chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. And we'll be reading verses 1 through 25, the whole chapter. Acts chapter 12, verse 1 here. Now the reading of God's holy and infallible, inerrant word. Now about that time Herod the king laid hands on some who belonged to the church in order to mistreat them. And he had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. When he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. That was during the days of unleavened bread. When he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out before the people. So Peter was kept in the prison. But prayer for him was being made fervently by the church to God. On the very night when Herod was about to bring him forward, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and guards in front of the door were watching over the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared, and a light shone in the cell, and he struck Peter's side and woke him up, saying, "Get up quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and put on your sandals." And he did so. And he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." And he went out and continued to follow. And he did not know that what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they had passed the first and second guard, they came to the iron gate that leads into the city, which opened for them by itself. And they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. When Peter came to himself, he said, "Now I know for sure that the Lord has sent forth his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting." And when he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who was also called Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. When he knocked at the door of the gate, his servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice, because of her joy, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter was standing in front of the gate. They said to her, "You are out of your mind." But she kept insisting that it was so. They kept saying, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door, they saw him and were amazed. But motioning to them with his hand to be silent, he described to them how the Lord had led him out of the prison. And he said, "Report these things to James and the brethren." Then he left and went to another place. Now when day came, there was no small disturbance among the soldiers as to what could have become of Peter. When Herod had searched for him and had not found him, he examined the guards and ordered that they be led away to execution. Then he went down from Judea and to Caesarea and was spending time there. Now he was very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, and with one accord they came to him, and having won over Blastus, the king's chamberlain, they were asking for peace because their country was fed by the king's country. On an appointed day, Herod, having put on his royal apparel, took his seat on the rostrum and began delivering an address to them. The people kept crying out, "The voice of a god and not a man." And immediately an angel of the Lord struck him, because he did not give God the glory. And he was eaten by worms and died. The word of the Lord continued to grow and be multiplied. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their mission, taking along with them John, who was also called Mark. That is God's word to us here, and it was around the time that the church at Antioch was getting settled, and Paul and Barnabas were working there. They apparently had gone down to Jerusalem. They have, at the very last verse there, they're coming back from there. And they were going back to Antioch. And they were in Antioch. When they were in Antioch, they were getting the church established, the officers in place, teaching them the doctrines that the Apostle James was put to death for by the sword, the gospel and God's word. And when they put the Apostle James to death, that is the brother of John, that pleased the Jews, the Pharisees, and all who hated the way, that is Christians, God's people, and those who followed after Jesus the Lord. And because this Herod, Herod put Peter in prison. Verse 5 is a little summary. So Peter was kept in the prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church of God. And we find here that the Lord answers those prayers, as he always does, answering the prayers of his people according to his will. And it's interesting, verse 4, that we're told that four squads of soldiers were guarding Peter, that is 16 soldiers, so that when we get to verse 6 and we hear this and following, and we hear this account of Yahweh sending of an angel to bring him out of the prison, and there's two guards right next to him, and he has chains on his hands. There's, in our mind, we would say there's no way to escape that unless someone, or maybe a mob of people, came in and took him away. And this angel sent from the Lord wakes Peter up, hitting him in the side, and his chains fall off, and he gets up, and he went out of the prison following the angel. The iron gates, even, they opened by themselves. We would know that the Lord opened those gates. But Peter, and his experience, he says that they opened themselves. And they went out, and immediately the angel vanished. Peter was free. He goes to John's mother's house. It's Mark's mother's house where there were many gathered praying. It was the Passover. They were celebrating the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And so there was many gathered in that place, and they were praying. And as he comes, they do not believe at first. Rhoda heard the voice, and she was so excited she went away back to the people and didn't even open the gate to see if this was actually Peter or not. But she was convinced it was, and they kept saying, no, it's not possible. And yet, after that, they do finally realize that it's him. And he tells them, Peter tells them what has happened, verse 17, to pass that information along to the brethren. And James, that is not James who was just put to death, but James, the brother of Jesus, the apostle James that writes the book of James. And the next day it says a great disturbance came amongst the soldiers, and Herod put all of those who were guarding the prison, he put them to death because they let him escape. And this Herod, verse 22, the people, having Herod angry at them, they're trying to get back on his right side so that they won't be angry, that he won't be angry at them anymore. And so they say, a voice of a God, not a man. They're continually crying that out when he's speaking to them. But the Lord puts him to death because he did not give God the glory. He did not say, no, I'm not a God, and I'm not the God. And so he was put to death, and we see that language of worms eating him. That cursed death we've looked at before. Because he did not give the glory to God, and so we should be warned there about when we are praised for something. We should give glory to God. If we do not, we are in danger of having the same thing happen here, as happened to Herod. To be cursed. So despite James being put to death and Herod's death, what does it say? The verse 24, the word of the Lord continued to grow and be multiplied. More people were preaching it, more people were speaking the word, more people were coming to the faith, more people were believing, despite persecution in the church. Despite the now change in power of the Roman King Herod there over them. The governor. The word continued to go, and has still kept going and kept going and kept going, even to our current day for thousands of years. The gospel has continued to go out. And so we should be encouraged in that. That through the proclamation of the gospel for thousands of years, people have come to faith and salvation, even us and hopefully all of us. And so it should actually encourage us to continue preaching ourselves, knowing that there are still people out there, many people, thousands, millions of people out there who need the gospel to hear it and therefore then be saved by the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Lord is still at work. It has not ended. It did not end in the book of Acts. It did not end because James died. It did not end later when Peter died or when all the apostles died, or even looking back, it did not end when Jesus died. He rose from the dead and he gives us the gospel to proclaim that he is risen and we too can have life in him. So let us focus on that as we pray to our Lord. Our Father, we do praise you. Thank you for sending your Son. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for the faithfulness of those who you raised up, though there are many times of frustrations with them, I'm sure. That they just did not get it. And even Peter, he denied you three times. Now, Father, we ask that you would give us this grace that you gave them, and you were long-suffering even with those disciples. We ask that you would be long-suffering with us and patient with us, because we still don't always get it. We would all here probably confess that you are in the Son, the prophet, priest, and king forever. And yet, often we don't live like that. Father, we ask that you would grant us a growing in our faith. That you would cause that unbelief to be put to death. And the sin that we continue to commit and continue to take part in, and even when we enjoy it, that you would put such perversities to death. Put it away from us. Grant us the righteousness and clothe us with that righteousness, that we would better be equipped to proclaim the word and live out the gospel. Our Father, we thank you that you here show us the death of your people, the martyrdom and the persecution that we've seen not only in Acts with Stephen and now James. Persecution by putting Peter in prison for no reason, but just because Herod wanted, it seems, to grow in popularity with the Jews. We've seen, which we'll look at this morning again in Ezra, that the people were persecuted there and they folded under temptation. And they sinned. And they are the bad example of what not to do. And here is the good example of what to do. To continue to be faithful. Here in the book of Acts, and Peter still remained faithful. The people continue to pray for him and pray for those who are persecuted. And they continued to proclaim the word, and the word went forth continually, and more were being added to the number of your people being saved. So here we have the good example of how we ought to live our lives, even in the midst of persecution. So we ask that you would strengthen us for the task. Strengthen us for the task that awaits us. And what seems may be a growing persecution in our world and in our nation. And so we especially pray for our children and for those who are younger amongst us, that when they grow older and they are the ones who are the leaders of the churches and missionaries and pastors and godly wives and husbands. Father, we ask that you would cause them to stand firm. That you would give them a greater measure of your grace and strength and boldness. And all for your glory. That more would hear the gospel and be saved. They would not be turned away because of our cowardice. Father, we do pray these things, asking that you would be praised. In the name of Jesus, amen.